The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Reflections Day by Day, a program from the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. For the next half hour, I'll be reading from the appointed daily scriptures and a brief commentary from the publication Forward Day by Day, a daily devotional for disciples. This booklet is intended for any Christian or non-denominational reader and is affiliated with the Episcopal Church USA. Our readings on this program cover the week of Monday, February 24th through Sunday, March 2nd, 2025. The commentary for February was written by Nikki Mathis, an Episcopal priest, wife, and mother to four-legged and two-legged kids. And when she is not playing D&D or Cookie Run Kingdom, she's working as a rector at her Episcopal church and as faculty with the Episcopal Preaching Foundation. Now, the commentary for Monday, February 24th, begins as follows. And this is with a passage from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 13 and 14. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Here's the commentary for Monday. My husband and I are similar in that neither of us desires grand gestures as expressions of love from one another. Our idea of romance involves the little things. I love yous at the door, holding hands, quiet dinners at home. So I'm not sure why it took me years to hear this verse as a command to dedicate my life to daily obedience rather than being willing to die for any of my friends. It's death by a thousand cuts, as it were, to my will when it's opposed to doing love. Those cuts don't seem nearly as heroic or romantic as risking myself, as if I were a superhero in my favorite movie. Speaking kind words when I'm frustrated with the people I live with doesn't hold the same kind of excitement. Following my prayers for those in a war zone with a donation to the Episcopal Relief and Development for that region doesn't seem as dashing. Choosing needed sleep over scrolling on my cell phone is good stewardship of my body and energy, but not nearly as amusing as the screen. And yet, Jesus says, this is what makes me his friend. And now I'm going to read the full passage from the Gospel for today. It is from John chapter 15, verse 1, and then verses 6 through 16. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. And the moving forward question for this Monday, February 24th, which, by the way, is the day we celebrate St. Matthias the Apostle. The question for today is, what small act of love will you be offering to Jesus today? The commentary for Tuesday, February 25th, begins with a passage from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 13a. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus said, you are salt, you are light, meaning we're there already. This is good news to hear in a world with 24/7 advertising, morning shows, and self-help books, all telling us that we are incomplete without this product or that program available. All on sale now. These words from Jesus are refreshing in a time when social media posts urge us to compare our lifestyles, bodies, and experiences with filtered images and scripted scenes masquerading as enviable. We are beloved, and we are enough to bring the good news and to help God replace the bitter taste of evil with the goodness of salt to the meal that is life in this world. We are enough to bring brightness and clarity to the places in this world that are lost in murky shadows. Jesus says right now, as is, we are practical and necessary for God's purposes for this world. And now I'm going to read this full gospel passage from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it under the bushel basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And now the moving forward statement for this Tuesday is, you are enough. You are salt. You are light. And you are loved. The commentary for Wednesday, February 26th, begins with a passage from the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 12b. May you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. It always struck me as odd that even though Naomi has a rich kinsman, Boaz, the text indicates that she hadn't told Ruth. The narrator lets the reader know, but all Naomi says is, "Go, my daughter," when Ruth announces her plan to glean in the fields. Thankfully, Ruth just happens to end up in the fields belonging to Boaz and receives his blessing. She finds safety and drink in addition to food. And while Boaz treats her kindly, both he and Ruth acknowledge her foreign outsider status. Now, he doesn't claim her at this time as part of his household, although he knows Naomi is his relative. It's as if Ruth's loyalty is merit enough to be rewarded with good fortune, But there's ambivalence around offering familial security, as if her outsider status is a tad more important than her loyalty. It makes me wonder who I'm nice to but don't consider important enough to be in spaces where decisions get made or communal responsibilities are handed out. God, please show me who I see as outsiders and how to change my perspective. And now I'm going to read this full passage from the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Now Naomi had a kinsman on her husband's side, a prominent rich man of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, "Let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, behind someone in whose sight I may find favor." She said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she went. She came and gleaned in the field behind the reapers. As it happened, she came to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Just then Boaz came from Bethlehem. He said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." They answered, "The Lord bless you." So to continue on now, may the Lord reward you for your deeds, and may you have a full reward from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. Then she said, "May I continue to find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and spoken kindly to your servant, even though I am not one of your servants." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come here and eat some of this bread, and dip your morsel in the sour wine." So she sat beside the reapers, and he reaped up for her some parched grain. She ate until she was satisfied, and she had some left over. When she got up to glean, Boaz instructed his young men, "Let her glean even among the standing sheaves, and do not reproach her. You must also pull out some handfuls for her from the bundles and leave them for her to glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. She picked it up and came into the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gleaned. Then she took out and gave her what was left over, after she herself had been satisfied. Her mother-in-law said to her, "Where did you glean today, and where have you worked? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." And the moving forward question for this Wednesday, February 26th, is, who do you regard as an outsider? The commentary for Thursday, February 27th, begins with a passage from Psalm 134, verse 1. "Behold now, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you that stand by night in the house of the Lord." This psalm brings up for me the lived wonder of formation, one of the best gifts I've received from God and the Episcopal Church. The psalm is only 2 verses long, so tiny to have given me such massive comfort over the course of my life. There was the comfort of praying these words with friends as we said Compline together for years as teens in EYC, Episcopal Youth Community. Then there was the new domesticity of praying these words in bed with my husband soon after we married. There was also the sadness of praying these words at an evening program after one of my parishioners was shot by the police. What we pray and when we pray together as a community form us. Even when I'm too sad, stressed, or perplexed to make the words make sense in my head, they still bring solace to my spirit. I'm anchored and held together not only by the words said at a particular time in a particular community, but also by the power and presence of God experienced each time they are prayed. And now I'm going to read the gospel passage for this Thursday, February 27th, from Matthew chapter 5, verses 27 through 37. You have heard it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to go to hell. It was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the ground of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. And the moving forward question today resorts back to the opening psalm here. Behold now, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, you that stand by night in the house of the Lord. And the question for today is, what psalm in particular brings you comfort? The commentary for Friday, February 28th, begins with a passage from the book of Ruth again, chapter 3, verse 14. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another. For he said, it must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor. Here's the commentary. After weeks of Ruth going out and bringing home food, her former mother-in-law, Naomi, takes charge. She tells Ruth how to prepare to meet Boaz, where to go, and what to do. And it's a risk both to Ruth's physical well-being and to her reputation. But it's a risk they take to survive, and it pays off. Ruth gains a husband, securing provision for herself and Naomi. Likewise, Anna Julia Hayward Cooper, the saint for today, took risks. Born into slavery, she attended an Episcopal school for freed African Americans. Cooper risked by pushing the leadership for the right to take higher level classes offered only to men. This risk paid off. She became the fourth African-American woman in the United States to receive a doctorate. I am not always brave enough to risk danger, to reach a dream God gives. But these stories remind me God has walked others along this road, and God will go with me too. And now I'm going to read from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verses 1 through 18. Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, I need to seek some security for you, so that it may be well with you. Now here is our kinsman Boaz, with whose young women you have been working. See, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Now wash and anoint yourself, and put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, observe the place where he lies. Then go and uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." She said to her, "All that you tell me, I will do." So she went down to the threshing floor and did just as her mother-in-law had instructed her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk, and he was in a contented mood, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. Then she came stealthily and uncovered his feet and lay down. At midnight the man was startled and turned over, and there, lying at his feet, was a woman. He said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your servant. Spread your cloak over your servant, for you are next of kin." He said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. This last instance of your loyalty is better than the first. You have not gone after young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, do not be afraid. I will do for you all that you ask, for all the assembly of my people know that you are a worthy woman. But now, though it is true that I am a near kinsman, there is another kinsman more closely related than I. Remain this night, and in the morning, if he will act as next of kin for you, good, let him do it. If he is not willing to act as next of kin for you, then, as the Lord lives, I will act as next of kin for you. Lie down until the morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before one person could recognize another, for he said, "It must not be known that the woman came to the threshing floor." Then he said, "Bring the cloak you are wearing and hold it out." So she held it, and he measured out 6 measures of barley and put it on her back. Then he went into the city. She came to her mother-in-law, who said, "How did things go with you, my daughter?" Then she told her all that the man had done for her, saying, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, for he said, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" She replied, "Wait, my daughter, until you learn how the matter turns out, for the man will not rest, but will settle the matter today." And the moving forward question for this Friday, February 28th, is, what will you risk for a dream God has given you? The commentary for Saturday, the first day of March, begins with a passage from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 16 through 18. "So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal." Patience may be the virtue we've forgotten most. Now that Amazon has drones that can fly our orders to us, we want what we want, and we want it right now. I'm seeing this embodied in my 4-year-old, who often tells me that if we don't do something or get something now, we just won't ever. I take great inspiration from the English, who have developed a queuing culture. To get anywhere in London usually requires a wait. Faith requires a wait, too. For us to see tomorrow what was promised yesterday, we must inhabit the now, however unsatisfying. The wait is temporary, but the reward is eternal. We can want what we want while sanctifying the wait. And now I'm going to read from the Gospel for this Saturday, from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 6. "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, Do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father, who is in secret. And your Father, who sees in secret, will reward you. And the moving forward for suggestion for this Saturday is take the long way home today. And as we near the end of the week and the end of this program, let's look at the commentary for Sunday, March 2nd, the last Sunday of the Epiphany. It begins with a passage from Luke 9, 28 and 29. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. It was October of 2014, and I was standing on top of Sugarloaf Mountain right outside of Marquette, Michigan. It was my first time in the Upper Peninsula, and it was peak fall color. I was paralyzed by beauty. Before me stretched the inestimable vastness of Lake Superior. Behind me was the wilderness of the UP. I was caught somewhere between heaven and earth. I called my girlfriend. I did not want to come down. Jesus calls up at the mountain to free us from our agendas and mendacity. He is transfigured because before us, for our benefit, not his own. Jesus longs for us to be transformed more and more into his likeness. To do so, we must come up a little higher. In climbing the heights of the mystery of God, we may find ourselves astounded by a mountaintop experience, and we may even long to stay there with the other disciples. And the moving forward suggestion for this day is to reflect on a time that you were captivated by the world around you. And that's all the time we have for today's episode of Reflections Day by Day. Let's close with a prayer from Father Richard Rohr, founder of the Center for Action and Contemplation in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Creator God, O great love, thank you for living in us and through us. May all that we do flow directly from our deep connection with you and other beings. Help us become a community that shares each other's burdens and the weight of glory. Listen to our heart's longings for the healing of our world. Knowing that you are hearing us much better than we are speaking, we offer this prayer in the name of your Son, Jesus, and in all the holy names of God. Amen. I'm George Douglas. Thank you for joining me today for Reflections Day by Day. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections Day by Day is a presentation of the North Carolina Reading Service and is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Please join me for a new program of readings and commentary next week from Forward Day by Day, a publication of forwardmovement.org. Goodbye until next time.